This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. A compassionate plea for sympathy after Dallas.
Your work and the work of police officers across the country is like no other.
And here's a superficial grab at a soundbite after Dallas.
It's a war on cops, and the Obama administration is the Neville Chamberlain of this war.
That's William Johnson, executive director of the National Association of Police Organizations. He was one of many voices last week fanning flames of anger after the murder of those five police officers in Dallas. President Obama, in his speech yesterday to honor the fallen officers of the Dallas PD, tried to quiet those voices of anger and more widely to acknowledge both the special role and challenges faced by police departments all over America today.
For the moment you put on that uniform, you have answered a call that at any moment, even in the briefest interaction, may put your life in harm's way.
The idea of a war on cops may be convenient for cable TV graphics, but there's no evidence of such a war if you look at the numbers. The number of police officers who have been intentionally killed on the job has fallen from 101 per year during the Reagan years to 90 annually under George H.W. Bush, 81 under Clinton, 72 per year under George W. Bush, and down to 62 annually under President Obama, a figure that doesn't change even when accounting for the Dallas ambush. Chuck Wexler, the executive director of the Police Executive Research Forum, says the disconnect means we can at least acknowledge that we're doing better than we often think we are regarding police violence and violence against police.
In the 60s and the 70s, you did have a lot of police officers that were killed, more so than today, and ambushed, deliberately killed. You had Black Panther movement and the fight back and forth between the police from New York to Oakland. So you did have police that were killed and assassinated. In the 1970s, you might have 10, 20 police officers in New York City who were killed. So, you know, it was a difficult time then, much like it is now. But overall, the numbers have come down. But I don't know if we can attribute that to anything more than the fact that you do have officers wearing body armor and you do have officers are being told to wear seatbelts. Those two things, we got labor and management together to agree on the mandatory wearing of seatbelts and body armor. So, you know, it's sometimes difficult to compare because those two factors can really cut down on officers dying.
Do officers coming into the departments and coming into the police academy have a sense that there is a war on cops taking place in America, that they've heard that rhetoric?
I don't believe there's a war on cops at all. I think the good news, quite frankly, is, you know, most communities, there's a good relationship with the cops. You know, most, I think the whole country, when they saw what happened in Dallas, was just stunned. It was just stunned. And so I don't think the rhetoric, the politicians and so forth, they're going to use this sad occasion for their own purposes. But at the end of the day, the good news is that overall crime is down compared to 20 years ago. When the people look at a situation like Dallas and they look at the Dallas Police Department and all the progress they make, and then they see these five officers who are walking with demonstrators to protect their First Amendment rights, joking around with the demonstrators, taking pictures, tweeting with each other, and then they get murdered. I think the public, really the general public, basically is sympathetic. It doesn't mean that there's not a lot of room to change and to find more strategies to de-escalate some of these situations that don't involve firearms. I think that there's an opportunity. You know, the president's message yesterday in Dallas was really, I thought, pretty powerful. And we really need to find ways to continue to build upon what we've already done. But there was a lot to learn from last week.
The president certainly made the point that we need to take action, that this is not a time for complacency. But he also wanted to say that don't forget we've been doing better on a number of fronts. Do you think there's a disconnect between our perception of how tense things are on the street, how much danger there is, how much police violence there is, and the actual numbers of incidents?
Oh, I think that's that is correct. generally speaking, if you go from community to community, people will say, well, we like our police. But what happens and what's happened the past couple of years is I don't think you can discount the impact of some of these very difficult videos. When the American people see a side of life that is very difficult to watch, we have never had that. You'd have to go back 20 years to the Rodney King incident to see that image, which had that searing image played over and over again. Now, today, it's not unusual to see one kind of video or another that portrays the police in a difficult position. I think the troubling part from a policing standpoint is you're not seeing what led up to that situation. Not that that would necessarily change what you see, but it might help you put it in context. I think there's two things happening. I think on the national level, you know, the American people are seeing a side of policing that they had not seen and are asking questions. And on the other hand, from the day-to-day perspective of local police departments and their communities, you know, they engage pretty well. So I think you have both of those things happening simultaneously. But there's from our standpoint, from a policing standpoint, we look at these kind of situations, whether it be officer-involved shootings or whether it be attacks, ambushes on police, and we say, how can we reduce that overall fatalities on both sides? What can we do to bring down the tension level, to introduce practices that will make the police more effective? And then there's also a responsibility on the part of the community to engage with the police, to work with them, to be part of community policing programs. So I think there's some responsibility that's necessary on both sides.
Chuck Wexler is the executive director of the Police Executive Research Forum. He spoke to us from Washington, D.C. Chuck, thanks so much.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.